Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jamie and Stoney on 97.1 The Ticket. It is always great to talk to our next guest. He's Mike Tirico of NBC Sports, and he'll be in the booth tonight as the Red Wings take on the Chicago Blackhawks. You can see his NHL play-by-play debut on the NBC Sports Network, and Mike joins us now here on 97.1 The Ticket. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're great.
Excellent.
Are you going to the game day skate around?
Of course.
you have to, right?
Of course.
It's part of the gig.
Morning skate. You know, morning skate, NBA shoot-arounds, those are traditions. And college hoop shoot-arounds, those are traditions unlike any other. I mean, really, can you do a broadcast without mentioning that in
no.
the broadcast?
So.
Now, do you go from the skate back home to Ann Arbor or come back, or do you just hang out?
No, I'll hang downtown. Especially with the weather, because it is supposed to snow again, right? And then ice again.
All the above.
We do live in Michigan in winter, right? It reminds me of when I was in Syracuse working, and I worked with this news anchor, a guy by the name of Ron Curtis, who was the legend in the market. He was there forever. Every city has one, like Bill Bonds was here back in the day in Detroit. And we kind of come in, and Ron goes, "Well, are we leading with the weather?" I'm like, "Yeah, we're leading with the weather." "Well, it is Syracuse, you know. It does snow every day. It's not really news." Okay, fine, but we just still all talk about it. So anyway, I'm gonna avoid fighting the weather and hang in Detroit during the day.
So obviously this is notable because it's your first – is it your first NHL game? And Stoney and I were talking off the air. Have you ever called baseball, Major League Baseball? Did you ever do that on ESPN? I don't remember it.
No, I haven't. Those are the two things I haven't done. This is actually, you know, open your big mouth and this is what you get. This is actually how this started last year. I said, you know, the two things I've never done, at some point I'd love to do – to complete the work grand slam, if you will, or, you know, just to do it, just the challenge of it, to do something different, is do a baseball game and do a hockey game. And so we have, obviously, the NHL rights. We have so many games that, you know, doing one regular season game is not exactly cutting into anybody's meal money for the guys who are doing this on a regular basis. And it makes more sense to do a Detroit game team. At least I have some familiarity with living around here for a while, and won't disrespect the sport or the fans in broadcasting the game. And candidly, guys, this is like enough. And I hate talking about it. I don't mean with you guys, but just in general, I'm embarrassed talking about it because the announcers should never be a part of the game. That we're just there to help people enjoy the game. So it's become a little bit embarrassing for me to keep talking about, hey, you're doing this for the first time. But I am personally looking forward to it. It is something fun. It's something different in a long regular season. So hopefully it'll work out okay.
I'm just curious, growing up in New York, were you was it Rangers with Marv, or was it the Islanders with Jigs McDonald, Tim Ryan, and those guys who were your influences?
It was the Rangers with Marv. Actually, there's been enough fans who know the Yankee games, who know John Sterling,
right?
Who does the Yankee games on radio. It is high, it is far, it is gone.
Islander goal, Islander goal, Islander goal.
Exactly. John was the radio voice for the New York Islanders when I was a little kid and first thinking about doing this. John, God bless him, John turns 80 this year, and he has not missed an inning of Yankee baseball in years. And he does all nine innings because he and Susan Walden do the games, much like Dan Dickerson does all nine innings. And there are not many radio play-by-play guys who do it. Anyway, John, as I was growing up, was doing the Islanders. So I listened to him. But I was a Ranger fan listening to Marv Albert as I was growing up doing that, and enjoyed that. Now Marv's son, Kenny, is the radio voice of the Rangers and a good friend. And he's been one of the guys who's been kind enough to reach out and say, hey, any questions you have, anything you might want to know, I'll be happy to help. The people around hockey, as you guys know, are tremendous. They're so good. The coaches, the players, the front office folks, and the broadcasters are all the same. I would say if I've learned anything from this process, it's one, incredible appreciation for the skill level and talent of a Ken Cal, Kenny Daniels, who we see night in, night out. They're so good. When you watch them and you're really studying the craft, you realize how incredibly lucky we are here in this market to have two great guys doing it. And then nationally, there's just so many good, talented people who make this job look easy. And I guess I'm setting myself up. I've noticed as I prepare for this, it's not as easy as it looks. I give them a ton of credit and a mad respect for what they do.
We're talking to Mike Tirico here on 97.1 The Ticket. And I don't want this to turn to the Chris Farley show, but obviously Stoney and I are huge fans. I marvel, Mike, a little bit. Like, I noticed the other day you tweeted out that you had a podcast up about the Daytona 500. And I was like, what doesn't this guy follow? And I'm just curious, are you just one of these people who's perennially curious about things? Or in your time hosting SportsCenter, did you just become not an expert, but you had to be well versed in all sports? And so therefore you became a fan of all sports.
It's a little bit of both, Jamie, and you bring up a really good point that I don't think I've talked about in a while. Covering SportsCenter, you needed to do a little bit of everything. You needed to cover everything. And to begin with, I'm a sports fan. If there's a little score bug in the corner of the screen, I'll watch and get interested. I've told the story. I was watching the Brazilian broadcast during the Olympics in 2016. Back in my room, I'm watching a team handball, women's team handball match, and there's like 30 seconds left, and one team has a player advantage, and they're down one, and they need to tie it to send it to overtime. And I'm yelling at my TV, shoot. I go, oh my God, what has happened to me? I'm yelling at women's team handball preliminary rounds of the Olympics. But I just love watching sports, and I've always been a big fan and curious about, how does this work? Well, you know, let me gain a little bit of knowledge here. And doing SportsCenter forced you to do those things, because that was back in the day when SportsCenter covered everything. You know, they don't do it nearly as much now, but you know, during the night you'd have every sport kind of cross your desk, and you need to be at least respectful of those fans. So I spent time trying to learn a bunch of those, and you know, the assignments along the way, hey, will you go to Daytona to host SportsCenter for a week? Sure. Well, you go there and you start learning about auto racing, and you realize, you know what, these guys are pretty incredible. And you just build up knowledge. So I guess that's where it's come over the years for me.
Football night in America, we see every Sunday. You obviously live here. You know the woe of Lions Nation. Draft coming up. Where do you think they should go? Not necessarily a player, but position.
Sure. I could laugh. I was running errands yesterday. I was listening to Doug and Gator. And it was like, it dawned on me. There were desperate people calling about No, Mel Kiper's 2.0 mock says the Lions are going to take the tight end from Iowa with the 8th overall pick. No, you can't do that. It'll be the worst thing that happened. I'm like, dude, first off, the draft is a couple of months away. Second off, if it's one person's mock draft, it's the second version of it. It might change by the third version. But bless the fans here. This guy was apoplectic. Couple of callers. Apoplectic that the Lions were going to take a tight end. They're like, okay, relax. Don't worry about it. You know, by the way, you need one. It's going to happen at some point. Here's what they have. They have a need in many places. It's a desperate need. They don't need to go reach for somebody in spots. This is an opportunity to continue shaping a team the way that Quinn and Patricia want the team shaped. So do you go defense and fortify a defense? What does a tight end do for Darrell Bevell in this offense that they've all come out and said, look, we're not going to beat Kansas City or the Rams. We're going to try to run it, play action. I think where they'd like to get, honestly, it's to the point where the Patriots are, of course, the championship, but the Patriots aren't one speed. They can run it. They can throw it. If you're bad at this, they are going to beat you doing that. And I think that's where they're going to go. So that allows you not to draft for desperation. Like, you know, if you're Kansas City, there's another speed receiver, go get them. If you're the Rams, you need another offensive playmaker, go get them. I think the Lions will truly be in that mode of what's the best fit based after free agency that we need to plug. And I think until you start basing free agency and where people go, it's really hard to base, I think, a team's going to do this in the draft, because it changes your needs significantly, in my opinion.
I actually, to your point, I really enjoy it when fans get mad at the Lions for a mock draft. Yes. Like, how could the Lions do that? It's like, wait a minute, they didn't do anything yet.
It's talk radio gold. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
They're fabulous. And as I was laughing, I said, you know what? It is really cool to live in a city where that truly matters, where people are personally unhappy and upset about who you might take via someone's mock draft. That,
yep.
that level of passion, you don't get that, no disrespect, in Carolina or Tampa. You don't get that. You can't buy that. So what they have here is still fans gold. And the people who say, I'm done with them if they do that, guess what? They're right back the next
They're year. Lying.
At the mock draft.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of this place.
All right. I don't want to put you on the spot, but this was our hot button issue earlier this morning, and I think there's no one better to address the burgeoning controversy than you.
Okay.
PGA players wearing shorts in the pro-ams and the practice rounds. Some of our callers were furious at this development, Mike.
They are knee-length shorts. So we're,
yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, we're, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
I mean, who cares?
Exactly.
I mean, yes.
Who cares? I mean, really, I do understand the professional part of playing a round of golf on tour that matters. You don't want somebody coming. I don't want Angel Cabrera smoking a heater coming up 18 at the Masters wearing shorts. Okay, probably not the look. Not the look to go with the green jacket. So not in tournament rounds or championship rounds, but in a practice round or a pro-am. I mean, seriously, do you look less professional? Do the great LPGA players of all time look less professional because they're not wearing pants? Absolutely not. It's part of golf. And if anything, it makes your sport look a little more relatable. It makes your best players, your most telegenic folks look a little bit more like the rest of us who play golf in shorts. So who cares?
Should the LPGA, should they make them wear yoga pants?
So bad. All right, Stoney, easy. You know, leave it to Stoney. It's
I know, right?
Yeah, 2019, Stoney.
Yeah, I know.
That's why Stoney's lasted this long. That's why he's the man.
Exactly, the Godfather.
Yeah.
All right, Mike Tirico will be on the call tonight. NBC Sports Network, Red Wings and the Blackhawks. Mike, thanks so much for the time, as always, sir.
Good catching up with you guys. Look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, thanks Mike. There he is, Mike Tirico here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!